Hello and welcome to the Small Business School. My name is Craig Staley, 20-year retail veteran, e-commerce practitioner, and entrepreneur. Each week, I will interview a new small business owner that we can learn from to take our businesses to the next level. Now, let's go. Today's guest is Jason Call. He's the president and founder of Handyman Web Design. Jason talks about what it's like running a business with your spouse. He also talks about why they chose to focus on the handyman niche and gives advice to any agency who's starting out looking to scale their business. All of that and a ton more with our guest today, Jason Call. All right, I'd like to welcome my next guest. It is Jason Call. He is the founder and CEO of Handyman. Actually, you're not the CEO, are you? Your wife's the CEO, technically.
On paper, yeah. I'm just the lowly president. You know,
the lowly president. The lowly president.
You've got to have the title on the business paperwork.
of Handyman Web Design. So thanks for joining us today, Jason.
Yeah, happy to be here, Craig. Thank you.
So give us a little bit of your personal background before we get started.
Yeah, so let's see. I grew up in Bentonville, Arkansas, home of Walmart. Went to school at the University of Arkansas. That's where I met my wife. And pretty much when you graduate from the University of Arkansas, you have two options. You can work for Walmart headquarters or you can go away. So I went away and we moved to Northern California in Sacramento area. We now live kind of in the foothills of Sierra Mountains in Northern California in a little town called Weimar. I was in corporate finance, marketing side for 3 years. The job itself kind of ate my soul a bit. Wasn't happy. And I identified web design, marketing as a vehicle of like, man, I can do this on my own and start a business. I've always wanted to start a business. And so the timing worked out in July 2017, I believe. Maybe it was 2016. And so ever since then, I've been doing website design, digital marketing, started locally, and then identified a niche working with handyman and remodeling companies, and have been full-time doing that, and then still serving just a handful of local customers. So that's kind of my businessy background, if you will.
That's awesome. So you mentioned Bentonville. So, I mean, is that city pretty much just 100% Walmart?
Pretty much, yeah. I know at one point it was 90% of people that lived there were somehow employed by Walmart.
Uh-huh.
My family, we were there before they required all their vendors to have a headquarters or some kind of office within like 25 miles, which obviously economically, it just blew up everything. Like when we go back now, which it's been a number of years, it's completely changed. It's like a little economic bubble though. It's a beautiful place, great place to raise a family, good employment, very low cost of living. But yeah, it's pretty much the Walmart town. And then Tyson and J.B. Hunt are also headquartered in Northwest Arkansas. So it's a very, it's a nice little economic little spot. Got lots of friends there. So, but certainly it's the Walmart headquarters place. So lots of Walmart. Any point in Bentonville or Northwest Arkansas, like you can get to a Walmart within like 2 or 3 minutes, whether it's a super center, a neighborhood market, like they're everywhere.
it's like a Starbucks on every corner, probably across the street from each other.
Yeah.
So while I was kind of doing some research, you know, we talked about it a little bit at the beginning of the show. I noticed that your wife is the CEO, you're the founder, president, and really kind of handle the account work. Talk about what it's like growing a business with your wife.
Sure. I think that like every small business, like it's like a family thing, like especially when it's the main economic vehicle of a family. So I think no matter what the circumstance is, like the family dynamic, I think it's always going to be that way because it's very personal. It's a small business. So my wife is certainly more of like she doesn't know all the details of like SEO and website design. So it's certainly more of like a strategic thing that she plays, really a support role that she plays for me, getting feedback on anything big that comes up in the business. But I don't know, it's awesome, honestly. Like she was, you know, she supported me leaving my comfortable corporate job. You know, we have a mortgage, we got, you know, we got expenses like every other family does in America. And so she's really the backbone of, you know, supporting this whole thing. And so rightfully so, she's the CEO, man. She's the CEO in a lot of ways in my life, but and I fully back that happily.
That's great. So how do you keep your business and your home life separated?
That's a great question. And it takes a lot of work, I think, because it can be very stressful, certainly like in the earlier parts of a business when you're trying to dial in, making it a viable thing where, you know, you got your payroll, you got all your expenses paid, you got a profit. Getting that point is, it takes a lot of work and it can be consuming. And so I think that to keeping it separate is very important, because you can't be like 8 p.m. like grinding out like every single night on a business when you have like your family. I've got my wife to spend time with. And that's, you know, I think it's identifying priorities. And I would say that it takes lots of practice and like determination of like, you know, come 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, I'm done. Like I'm putting my phone on silent, not looking at my emails. I'm going to like focus and kind of quiet down and just spend time with family or friends or whatever it may be. But I think for any small business owner, it takes focus. It takes practice of separating business from family. And it's very important to figure that out for yourself.
Good advice.
I think it's a moving target too.
Yeah. And I think it'd have to be difficult. You know, even if you shut the phone off, you're having dinner with your wife and she's in the business and you're in the business and something came up that day and you're working through something. I'm sure it kind of at times just naturally bleeds into, you know, outside of the business time.
Yeah, most definitely. I think, I don't know. It's kind of like a natural organic thing. And you could tell when you kind of cross a line, whenever it's just too much like work rather than just like discussing something, you know, like issues or successes, good things, bad things. I think it's a moving target that you kind of work through and find that like healthy point. Cause for any business owner, like it's important. Like my business is very important to me. My customers are very important to me. So I take it very seriously. So that's a big part of my life and my wife's life. So naturally it's going to work its way into a lot of stuff, but there's certainly that separation that you've got to nail down for like, all right, no more business. We're going to go sit by a fire and spend some time together, or, you know, go on a little vacation here or there and unplug. So,
yep. Good advice. So you said you're focused on the handyman niche. Why did you decide to make that focus, to focus on a niche rather than, I think sometimes common sense says, you know, anybody that needs a website or anybody that needs marketing services, we're going to be there for them. It almost feels sometimes like when you're narrowing down to a niche, you're like eliminating part of the market. So what made you decide to go to that handyman niche?
So originally the handyman niche was inspired by literally gifting a good friend of mine a website for Christmas. So he had a new handyman business. I was pretty new at that point in my business and, you know, he was like doing it part-time and just trying to figure out marketing. And so, you know, we had conversations. I gave him basic advice like, hey man, you need social media. You should set up Google My Business, Yelp, you need a website. So basically I set it up for him and he just like was off to the races. So this really basic landing page website with very basic marketing advice. And he's just taken off. And now he has like 4 or 5 employees. He doesn't even do the technician work and has just taken over like a 2 million population metro area from working together. And so seeing his success, he was like, wow, like there's other handyman businesses, business owners out there that are hungry and determined like he is to serve his community with his own skills and his gifts. And so that's where handymanwebdesign.com was born. It started with website design and hosting, and it's evolved into like SEO, Google Ads, you know, comprehensive marketing provider. But so that was the inspiration of it. Just recently, probably like a year ago, made the shift of like being very, very selective of anything outside of handyman and remodeling. So now like locally, I pretty much just refer everybody to somebody else. And at first, yeah, it was kind of like this big, like, I'm like blocking out revenue, right? I'm blocking out clients. But whenever you have that like focus on that one who you're serving, you can do it like so much better and get the results that the client deserves. And you can do it more profitably because you create efficiency. So in the long term, it's a good, I found it to be a good commitment to make, certainly a scary one.
Mm-hmm. So over the years, did you see, how long did it take to kind of make that switch into going from serving, you know, larger industries to narrowing down to, sounds like just recently, to the handyman niche? How long did that take you to make that transition?
So there's a lot of bleed over because, like I said, within the last year has just been like pretty much stonewalling anyone that's not a home service, because all home services, the marketing is very similar. The conversion optimization, search optimization, more like technical marketing stuff. Don't want to get too deep into that here, but it's very similar for home services. And so before, though, kind of like dropping that axe, making that kind of transition, which was really more like a gut feeling of like, you know, the financials, the business side is there. We're doing ourselves a disservice by not focusing on what we're really, really good at. So I guess to answer your question, there was a 2-year period, I guess, where there was just bleed over, where there was local clients. I had a local employee that was networking and doing the Chamber of Commerce stuff. And we were doing videos. Like, you know, we did that intertwined with the handyman remodeling niche, which really, I guess over that 2 years, it was very easy to see what was really moving the needle. And then the local stuff, you know, a lot of it too. And marketing is project work. There's no passive revenue. There's no monthly recurring revenue for performing services. It's like a website designed for X number of dollars. Here you go. Cool. And, you know, chasing after that project work every month is exhausting and it's stressful because you got payroll, you got bills to pay. And just doing that on project work alone, just one-time web designs, one-time Facebook campaign, stuff like that. It's just not, it's a tough business model to really do locally as a small business for sure.
So if you're giving advice to an agency who's just starting out and they're looking to scale, looking to grow, what would you tell them to focus on as they're trying to grow their business?
First thing I would tell them to do is get a business coach. Find a coach, pay them to hold you accountable to what you set out to do. That's super important. And then you have that accountability to set out and find your niche. So if you have a client base right now, I would say, who are you killing it for? / who do you love working for? What industry do you enjoy? Create a case study with those results and package it into a marketing package that you can say do Facebook ads with. You could do cold outreach and say, hey, look at these results I got for Craig Staley's Custom Home Builders, you know? And we did this and this and this, and here's the results. Here's his testimonial video. It's a proven track record. I can do this for you. Let's jump on a call. There's a lot of power in that. So I would say get a coach, find a niche, build a case study, and then start building, you know, cold outreach, start building authority through content. That's what I would tell them.
Awesome. So besides web design, I know you kind of mentioned here, you provide some marketing services for your clients. Can you talk about your approach to marketing for a handyman that's just getting started out, maybe like your friend that you gifted a website to, versus someone who's maybe been established and has a growing business?
Yeah, drastically different. And like any business, there's like kind of like this lifeline. There's this progression, there's phases that you go through. You know, when you start a business, you're not dropping like $2,000 a month on pay-per-click Google ads. You got to start somewhere. So for new businesses, we actually have a plan that's just made for like startups, what we call it, startup plan, which is basically just a website, a landing page to generate reviews. Getting online reviews is super important for a new business. Having a professional website that maximizes your marketing efforts, because when you think about any brand new business, like say you go to the Chamber of Commerce, hard nowadays with COVID, but say you're doing the networking, got social media, you're going to be maximizing all those efforts whenever you hand that business card, whenever you make that social post and you link your website where someone goes to it. And it's like, it just instantly, you're perceived as professional and expert. That's very conversion optimized. So there's like the form, there's the big phone number in the upper right corner. It's kind of this like foundational thing. So for a startup, I guess, getting back to the original question, you know, website, Google My Business is super important for any handyman, any local business, really. Yelp, focus on those like high level directory listings, and really just doing that small business hustle that every small business has to do at first to gain traction to kind of get up to that level of like sustainability. Because any new business they start, they're most of them, they leave a paycheck. And so there's a lot of work that has to go into getting to this viable level of like, okay, I'm making enough to pay my bills. I'm even paying myself. Sweet. So now what? Now I've got my schedule kind of filled up. So then you got to look at kind of leveling up your marketing. So there's lots of stuff in the middle that really could depend on the actual business, but really evolve businesses for home services. You know, some local SEO services is very important to rank your Google Maps. It also helps your website organic listings. So really just expanding all those listings like the Google Business, the Yelp, but looking at the smaller guys. You got BBB, you got Yellow Pages, you got hundreds of others. So ramping up local SEO, and then Google pay-per-click ads is like the king of home service leads. You get bottom of the funnel consumers. They're ready to buy. You know, when someone searches AC repair near me, they have a need and they're looking to hire somebody. So that's why, yeah, an HVAC is ultra competitive. You know, handyman near me, you're looking at, there's not a lot of competition. That most people are clicking on Angie's List Home Advisor. So that's really a big thing that we found in our industry too. That's a benefit, is that it's a growing industry. It's kind of growing up into where HVAC, where moving companies are that are more advanced in marketing. So these guys now, these businesses that are handyman, home repair, that are investing in marketing, they're just killing it because the competition is just not up to that professional level yet. So getting back to your original question though, I mean, it kind of just evolves from the basics to the more where you really need that marketing expert to properly manage your campaigns, to maximize your cost per conversion, really is what it comes down to for home services.
That makes sense. So kind of changing gears here, what tools have you found helpful in your business as you've kind of grown?
I would say, I mean, are we getting into specifics here?
Yeah, like absolutely.
Specific tools? Yep, okay, yep. Awesome. Awesome. How we connected, Flywheel hosting was a massive game changer for me, specifically because it took a lot of technical stuff out of my life and it was handled through this dashboard, and it was very easy to make a WordPress site, to just spin everything up super fast and without dealing with cPanels and technical stuff. I'm not an IT master wizard status person. I'm just a designer and a marketer. So Flywheel is huge. Finding some kind of like SEO service that works for you. Bright Local has been big for us. Your actual toolkit within WordPress. I don't take seriously any other website design platform. I know there's new ones coming up, but WordPress, at the end of the day, over half the websites built are online or on WordPress. So WordPress is kind of like the king to me. So getting your toolkit within WordPress. So we use Elementor for Page Builder. I love Rank Math for SEO over Yoast. ACF is another great WordPress plugin for any kind of designer that's really looking to like create efficiencies. WP Rocket is an awesome one to speed up your sites. So there's lots of technical stuff within WordPress. Outside, like I said, Flywheel, Bright Local, there's a new CRM that's actually made. We just switched from, what is it called? ActiveCampaign, popular email marketing, CRM, text message marketing, they do all kinds of stuff. We just switched from ActiveCampaign to a system called Go High Level. And it's made specifically for marketing agencies that does a ton of stuff all in one system. So that's a new one that we've just applied over the last few months. And we're still learning how to apply it in our own agency, let alone we're just now onboarding clients and figuring out how we can use it for clients. So yeah, I guess I could, though, off the top of my head, those are some big ones that help the business. Agency analytics is another one for reporting, is huge.
Awesome. That's perfect. What has been in the years you've been in business here, what has been the biggest challenge that you've faced, and what did you do to overcome that challenge?
I would say the biggest challenge was probably early on. I had 6 months to make X dollars a month in revenue, right? To kind of, before you got to go back to the job. So we hit this point where we had this massive expense that came in and we had to pay it. And we were like, had less than a couple $100 in our account. It was around Christmas time. It was like Christmas. And it was just super trying, super stressful. And somehow, I don't know how, but the week between Christmas and New Year's, the most dead time ever for small business owners. I mean, everyone checks out from Thanksgiving to like mid-January, it seems like. But I landed two kind of just like game changer jobs that like kept everything up. And That was definitely the biggest challenge, is like when that bill hit and then like that uncertainty. And I think a big part of that was like before, like I recognized like it was really hard starting a business, right? I mean, it's really hard. It takes a ton of work. And a big part of that landing these jobs though was all the work I'd done months leading up to that, like the personal development stuff of just like waking up at 5 a.m, like super early, because I had to carve out an extra couple hours of my day so that I could, you know, give myself a better chance at success and more time to focus on things that mattered. And so I think a lot of that pre-work stuff ultimately helped that miracle happen almost. But that was certainly, when I think of like the toughest trying moment, it was certainly that like really personal financial kind of thing that hit, and the business was not at all developed. So, but we got through it.
There you go. So on a brighter note then, what has been the best moment in your business's history so far?
So I would say that the best moment is a number of very like identical moments. And that's when a big fuel of our business is what I say, 2/3 of our business comes from treating people right. And from that, you get referred. So when you treat people right, you give them exceptional service, you leave them like totally blown away by value. When someone asks on Facebook in these contractor groups where our ideal customers, they all are there. When someone comes on there and they say, hey, I need to get my website upgraded, who do you recommend? Countless times now, there's these threads and my name, Handyman Web Design, it's like mentioned by like 5 to 10 customers, like in the same comment thread. And it's like, Jason Call, Handyman Web Design, Jason Call, Handyman Web Design, Jason Call, Handyman Web Design. And so seeing that, there was just one like the other day, and seeing that, it just like, I don't know, it kind of makes it all like, it kind of, you kind of like come back from it. It's like, wow, like all these people are like, I'm not paying them anything. Like there's no like referral or anything. And they're just happily referring my business. And so that's like my favorite moments, not because, you know, my business getting thrown around there, but just like the satisfaction that these customers get. And some of them I haven't even talked to in a long time because they're just like doing their thing. And to see them like refer the business is like, you know, doing something right.
Yeah, that feels good for sure. Who do you consider a mentor, and what would you say is the most important lesson they taught you?
So it's hard to come up with a most important mentor. Like I mentioned before, like a coach is, I think every business owner needs a coach and a mentor. I think you need to pay for coaching, because when you pay for something, it's a professional service that someone specializes in. And so I've had a number, like I have 3 coaches right now. 4 if you count like a more spiritual kind of coach through my church. But I would say the most influential is just lately I got plugged into a coaching group that is all about, that's all marketing agencies. And like over 100 of these highly successful agencies that are helping others like kind of come up to where they are. And it's called the seven figure agency is the actual group. And it's been like the biggest inspiration, big fuel over the last 3 months since I joined. And the biggest lesson that I've learned from it is that you need to like recognize your value and like stand by it. And like the whole price thing, you know, there's always going to be people in every single business, like no matter what business owner might be watching this, like there's always that price thing. And the thing is, like, not every customer is your customer, and that's okay. But as long as you stand by like the value that you know that you bring to a business, you know, your ideal customers are going to identify and be okay with like paying that. So I guess there's no like specific like life-changing quote that I've ever heard from a mentor that comes to mind, but that's a big one, is not every customer is your customer, and you got to stand by the value that you are selling to people.
That's definitely a good one. I mean, I'm sure there's people that have approached you and want a $500 website, and you know, that's someone you probably have to refer to someone else.
Yeah. And that's okay. Like when I first started, like the first website I sold, actually, it was $500, and it was to an attorney. And he shot his hand across that conference table so fast to shake my hand, like his shoulder must have popped out. Like it was a great feeling for me. It was like my first, you know, book job. So there's nothing wrong with a $500 website. That's certainly where I started. But now, yeah, an attorney website for $500, that's a loss for me.
That's awesome. So before we get to the last question, where can our listeners find out more about your business?
Handymanwebdesign.com is the website address. Everything's there.
You guys have social you're active on at all?
You know, we have Facebook, but it's very intermittent posting. It's not really a part of our, which may be shocking to a lot of people, but it's just not a part of how we get leads. And so we mostly do SEO and then lots of client referrals. But yeah, we have a Facebook profile that we post on. We have YouTube videos, testimonials and stuff on there. So yeah, it's all on handymanwebdesign.com. Obviously not relevant at all to anybody unless you're a marketer and kind of want to see what we're doing. Or if you're a handyman or remodeling customer, you know, there's lots of good stuff to grow your business there. But beyond that, you're going to be lost.
Okay. So we'll go to our last question here. The question I ask everybody, if you could hop into a time machine and go back to the day that you started your web design business, what advice would you give your past self?
Besides just giving myself a whole list of all the tools that I should be using and why, why I would use them, unlocking the whole like operational secrets to providing service, I think that a big game changer that I would just tell myself right from the get-go is to wake up at 5 a.m. and focus. Like spend the first like hour of your day dialing in like your personal stuff, your spiritual stuff, your relational stuff, and then writing a list of you know what you're going to accomplish in that day, and also reflecting on like your bigger goals for the quarter, for the year, for 3 years, for 5 years. Dialing into that every morning super early before anyone else is up, it's just this special time of like focus where you can create so much momentum. And that's really, I think momentum's a big thing for business owners. And so, you know, when you make a sale or you get some awesome results and like you just get a few of those like ching, 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 like they all like pile up and it really like that momentum is huge. And I think a big part of building that momentum is it starts with you and it starts like really early in the day so that when the 8 o'clock, you know, you open up like that first phone call that comes in or you got a sales call, you call up and you're just like beaming, like you're ready to go, you know, your customer's smiling the other end like, man, why is this guy so excited to talk to me? So yeah, I would tell myself to wake up early and focus on like the why and focus on what you're going to do that day rather than just kind of like slug it out in the morning and then sit down at 7, 8 o'clock and open up your email and you have no direction. So
very good answer. Well, a lot of great value in the conversation and appreciate you coming on with me today.
Yeah. Thanks, Craig. It's awesome.
Thanks, Jason. If you're a small business owner or looking to start a business, join the Small Business School Facebook group. It's a private community of people focused on helping each other grow their businesses. Join the community and let's help each other take our businesses to the next level. We'll see you there. If you'd like to learn more about our guest today or be a future guest on the Small Business School, go to craigstaley.com/podcast for more info. And of course, it would mean the world to me if you'd click subscribe or write a review for the Small Business School in your podcast app of choice. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.